Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Spring is in the air. We're going to have a spring fling this evening, Saturday, March 30th. Coming to you live from our flagship AM radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith Alexander in studio with me this evening, as he always is, Keith, and we got a busy show tonight. We're going to have to get after it. It's Easter Eve and an early happy Easter to everyone. We're going to be talking much more about Easter and what it means to us during the third and final hour this evening. But first, lots of news tonight. I'm telling you, Keith, we talked about it last week. It looks as though the cultural Marxists, the proponents of political correctness, are really coming off the rails. They're getting more and more preposterous and absurd. And they seemingly outdo themselves with regards to their seemingly their taste for double standards and hypocrisy. They love them. But before we get to all that, we're going to read a couple of letters that came in this week from our ever-growing audience all around the world. We got one here from England that I'm going to read, good old London, and one from Canada. The one from London reads thusly, Keith. Dear James, the political cesspool just gets better and better. It's a haven, an oasis, a beacon of common sense, and it makes me laugh out loud. I wish I could contribute more, but I'm facing very expensive private surgery in the UK. I'll survive it, but with a much lighter wallet. Like all other working whites here, via taxes, I've paid a fortune into the national healthcare system, but it's become a lethal sewer. The hospitals would make Mogadishu blush. You can't have a first-world health system with a third-world population and staff. I can't remember the last time I had a nurse or doctor who was white or spoke comprehensible English. I wish that Michael Moore and other liberal, can't read that word on air, who praise socialized medicine, had to endure national health care. In fact, a recent poll revealed that 60% of doctors and nurses would not use their own hospitals. Obamacare is coming soon to a hospital near you. Keith, that's from a listener in London. Folks are out there suffering. They don't have a voice, save one, and they're tuned in tonight all over the world.
You know, this really hits close to home because my grandfather, who is English, died under the national health care system because, and specifically because, as a white, he was disfavored in terms of being a candidate for surgery. He developed some circulatory problems in his legs, got in a queue, as they say over there, to get treatment. And, of course, the treatment didn't come in time, so he wound up having to get both legs amputated below the knee, and he died from complications of that surgery, all because he couldn't get the proper surgery that had been recommended by the doctors under the rationing that is just endemic and inescapable in any type of socialized medical system, and particularly in a system like they have in England and will soon have here in America under Obamacare, in which you complicate the matter by having a multiracial, multicultural society. And, of course, all that Obamacare is intended to do is to try and make sure that assets are transferred from Medicare in treating the older, i.e., predominantly white population, to treating the young, which is a predominantly non-white population. So I feel for our writer here. His name is John. That's all we'll say. We're not going to give you anything more about that to protect the innocent. But this is, you know, this is the type of problem that we're going to face more and more in the brave new world that the left has set out for us here in the West, in America and England.
One more email coming in from Canada that we have time to read, and it says this. I attached a picture of the road going by my house. I should have taken the picture before the sun started to set, but you get the idea. Obviously, we still have a lot of snow. This was an email that was sent in from a listener in Canada earlier this week. It's supposed to get down to -5 degrees Fahrenheit tonight, and there are no temperatures above freezing in the forecast till next Wednesday. We're having an old-fashioned Canadian winter. Normally by this time, snow is melting and the temperature is getting above freezing every day. The snow started to come at the end of October and has stuck around since. I'm really getting tired of ice and snow, as you can tell. The pioneers came here and turned this harsh wilderness into a prosperous country, and they were a very hardy stock. They were mostly Norwegians, Germans, and Ukrainians. That's why our current immigration policy makes me want to scream. It's like, okay, we tamed a harsh wilderness, made it livable. Now let's bring in the third world. I can't imagine how rough winters would be without snow plows, electricity, natural gas heating, block heaters on vehicles, insulated buildings, indoor plumbing, etc. But that is what the founding stock of this country did without. But they had large families and thrived, and they never starved or froze to death. Like the Japanese, I honor my ancestors. Good, healthy sentiments there, Keith, from a friend of ours up in Canada. A lot of people feel just like him, and they're tuned in tonight.
You know, it's remarkable that third worlders want to come to a climate as harsh as that of Canada, but of course, they instinctively know that they're parasites and that they have a parasite-host relationship with the white population. So, as Andrew Young, the mayor of Atlanta, said, we will follow you wherever you may go, like the old song from James's favorite era, the late 50s and early 60s. They're going to track you down. Without the dog, all the fleas will die. So you're not even safe up in the sub-zero temperature of Canada. They're tracking them down even there. And again, we are the last hope, the last beacon of truth that people like the last two writers find anywhere. They don't, you know, if it weren't for the internet and it were not for our program and a few hardy publications like Ameren and Occidental Quarterly and Occidental Observer, you know, heaven help us all, because we live in a world where good is evil and evil is good, and it is heartening to know that we mean as much as we obviously do to so many people throughout the world, James.
It certainly is, Keith. And that being said, I have good news for those great listeners who have supported us for so many years. Well, we were raising money back in February for a website revitalization project, and that is currently in the works. And so by May 1st, we're going to have an all-new website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Still going to have all the great bells and whistles that you've come to love, but it's just going to look a little nicer. You know, it's been there for about 3 or 4 years, 5 years as it sits. So we're going to give it a fresh paint job. And also, Art Frith, our former producer, who is now retired up in Michigan but still works behind the scenes with the program, is going to be making all new spot breaks and intros and outros and bumper music. So come May 1st, folks, thanks to your support, we're going to have a fresh facelift on the website, improved presence on the web, and we're going to be revitalizing our on-air production as well. So moving forward, Keith, not wanting to be still, the political cesspool charging headstrong into the future. And speaking of Art Frith, folks, go to that aforementioned website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, right now. Tonight is the last night of Art's photo contest. He's down big. I tell you, I feel like Pickett at Gettysburg. I want somebody to charge with me. We know we're going to lose, but let's go down fighting. And so let's get after it, folks. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Top entry on the blog roll will lead you over to Art's photo page. Follow the instructions. Cast a vote for Art tonight. If you're listening online, go do it right now, because tomorrow it will be too late. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to start the show in earnest. We're going to go to a couple of colleges, Brown University and Florida Atlantic.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, let's go back to school here. We're going to visit stories originating out of Brown University and Florida Atlantic University. First, let's go to the Ivy League. Students at Brown University held an anti-race-mixing workshop. Now, you might not think that would be something that they would do up there in the Ivies, but certainly it happened. But it's not what you think. Cultural Marxism continues its descent into absolute insanity. As part of a commitment to anti-racism, Brown University held a workshop to encourage people of color homosexuals. That's what they refer to themselves as, people of color homosexuals, to not be attracted to white homosexuals. So basically, Keith, the problem up at Brown, according to the student group, was that too many black homosexuals at the university were finding themselves attracted to white homosexuals, so they had to do something about it. This is their press release. Listen to this. Madness. A group of Brown University students appear, well, I say press release, this is the story from a student newspaper up there. A group of Brown University students appear to be preparing an on-campus workshop in which homosexual participants will separate by race to work past their sexual attraction to Caucasians. We found ourselves falling for the white homosexuals, wishing we could have more agency in the process, be more intentional about who we desire and how, reads the official Facebook description of the event. Folks, you probably think that I've been duped, that this is some sort of a parody or a hoax, but the truth is stranger than fiction. You couldn't make this stuff up if you tried. This is real. Now listen to this. This is pseudo-intellectual mumbo-jumbo. Only a sentence like this could come from an Ivy League student. We are invested in generating a politics of sexuality that compels us to interrogate beauty as a privilege and constructed by systems of white supremacy, ableism, capitalism, and heteronormativity. All right. What did that mean? What did that mean? Basically, though, the problem is you can read the story for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org, but basically the big problem at Brown, or one of the big ones, is that black homosexuals are finding themselves, without exception, attracted to white homosexuals, so they got to have a workshop to work past that.
Another odd advantage, supposedly, of white privilege, the fact that non-white homosexuals find white homosexuals more attractive than homosexuals of their own race is apparently a big problem that they have to attack through the traditional means employed by the left of psychological conditioning. Although the leftists always see themselves as the patients, the people that need to be worked on. Well, they do need to be worked on, but what they need to be worked on is to get shock therapy to realize that there is nothing wrong with admiring the accomplishments of white people, what they call ableism. Can you believe that? In other words, because white people are more able than non-whites, or they perceive themselves, the minorities perceive them to be that. This is a problem of white society, that somehow this is not realistic. It's not a reaction to reality. It's a reaction to some type of conditioned reflex, like a Pavlovian dog or something. This shows you the absolute lunacy of the left. I was reading an article in the Memphis Commercial Appeal today about the Ku Klux Klan rally that they had here. Now, they didn't have it. What actually happened there will be reported in tomorrow's paper. But they had an article in here from a, guess what, Episcopalian priest who has a congregation downtown, or used to. Now he's moved off into some non-governmental organization afterlife after, manning the barricades here in Memphis, ground zero of racial conflict in America. And he talks about culturized racism. In other words, racism or preference for white traits, white standards of beauty, white standards of behavior, all of this stuff is apparently a big problem. And it's a big problem because it flies in the face of the egalitarian claptrap that the left is always giving us, which flies in the face of reality. Reality, therefore, has to change, James.
I'm glad you mentioned that so-called Klan rally. I was following it today, obviously, from a great distance, because we don't want to have anything to do with that. But how embarrassing. You know, these people claim to be fighting for some of the things, same things that we fight for quite heartfeltly. And, you know, they get up there, and it's just a caricature. I mean, surely they had to be plants. I mean, they get up there, crude language, doing, you know, Nazi salutes. I mean, that is so counterproductive to what they claim to be fighting for that you'd have to assume that they were put-ons. But nevertheless, folks, and I know our audience is of such a high caliber that they would know better, but steer clear of anything like that. All right, Florida Atlantic University, Keith. We'll go from one side of the East Coast to the other. A student, apparently, he says, was suspended for refusing to stomp on Jesus. And what was going on here was that a professor, a black professor at Florida Atlantic University, had all the students in a class write the name of Jesus on a piece of notebook paper, then have them drop it at their feet and stomp on it until, I guess, it was confetti. Now, there is some back and forth as to whether or not he was disciplined for refusing to participate in that practice or not. He says he was. The university says he wasn't. But that's irrelevant. The point is that there is no doubt that this practice did occur. And there was no doubt that only one student in the entire class had a problem with it. In fact, this was part of the textbook curriculum. This isn't just something some anti-Christian, anti-American professor came up with. This was a textbook practice, something that was written in the textbook that should be demonstrated in the class. And so the name of the class was Intercultural Communications, and this story just in time for Easter. But you know, imagine if students at Florida Atlantic University were told to write the name of Martin Luther King, for instance, on a piece of paper, and then drop it at their feet and stomp on it until it was in shreds. And so you want to know what the state religion of America is here on Easter Eve. All you need to do is ask who it is you can ridicule, who it is you can mock, who it is you can stomp on, and who it is you can't. And again, this was an officially sanctioned classroom practice of an American university, came straight out of the textbook. And where's the ACLU? Where's the SPLC? Where's the ADL? Not one of these organizations who claim to fight against such practices have spoken up to say a word in defense of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's slightly incorrect. It wasn't right out of the textbook. It was right out of the teacher's manual. This particular professor, who was a black male, was just following the suggestion of the teacher's manual that he had, which basically accompanies the textbook. And the teacher is told that this is a great way to get his point across. Now, we always say on the political cesspool that modern liberalism, or that liberalism is the modern face of evil. Now, if you want any better illustration of that, of the truth of that statement, look no further than this article. You know, modern liberalism, in my mind, started in the French Revolution and in the French Enlightenment that preceded it. People like Voltaire and Rousseau were primarily driven by anti-Christian, anti-clerical animus. And you can see that the gods of liberalism, like the god of Christianity, is a jealous god and accepts no other gods before it. So consequently, you have to turn your back upon and renounce Christianity in order to be a good liberal. Now, people wonder why people are fleeing from organized Christianity and denominations in droves. All you have to do is look at the M section of today's newspaper, and you see one leftist preacher after another lining up to oppose racism and to oppose the Confederate parks and whatnot in this piece they have. And you see this manifestation in colleges now. This is what your children are being taught. What do they say? It's Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, teach your children well.
We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. You just heard on the last couple of commercials, and leading us back out of that commercial break was none other than our former producer, Art Frith. I say former because he's not manning the board right now, as our network of friends in Utah handle that for us. But he still does a lot of production work behind the scenes. And as I mentioned, he is going to be revitalizing some of our spots. We're going to have all new bumpers and intros, outros coming up in May to coincide with the unveiling of our new Jazzed Up website, which is currently being worked on. But anyway, Art Frith, listen, folks, we've only got a couple of hours left. He is in this heated photo competition, and, you know, the cesspool has turned in over 1,000 votes for him in the last couple of days, our listeners. But, and that's only a fraction, a tiny fraction of our audience that comes to the website each month. You know, we should have sent Art over the 40,000 vote threshold. But just like with anything else, only a small percentage of even the most faithful take the time to do something. And I'm the same way if it isn't something that's important to me. So I know how it is. But go to thepoliticalcesspool.org right now if you're listening online. This is an order coming straight from Central Command. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, top of the blog roll. You'll see the instructions on how to vote for Art's photo entry. If he wins, he's going to have his picture featured on over 5,000 Christmas cards in the state of Michigan. It's a competition to have by this company to have the winning photograph featured as their Christmas card mailer. And so Art's in second place. It's a dead heat. He's about 50 votes behind, and the thing ends tonight at midnight. So if you're listening, go to the cesspool site, top entry, get the instructions, go there, vote for Art. Keith, you were talking about the downfall of a lot of these churches, and you're right. You go to any church, any Protestant, so-called conservative church, and you can't stay there very long before you hear them talking about racism, racial reconciliation. And listen, to be clear, and I know where you're coming from with this, but you know, we always want to make ourselves very clear. I am certainly opposed to racism. I don't think anyone should be discriminated against or put down because of who they are, what their culture is. That being said, I think that also applies to white people. But you just know that when you hear one of these anti-racist sermons, it's not an across-the-board thing. Equal rights for all, special privileges for none that we believe and advocate for here. It's anti-racist is code word for anti-white. So they're not preaching against racism. They're preaching against anything that could be construed to be in the best interest of whites. And I firmly believe that. And so there is a difference. But we are on this track. It is the day before Easter. And stay tuned for the third hour tonight because it's going to be a special message. The History Channel. A couple of weeks ago, I told you about a couple of new shows on the History Channel that had caught my attention. One is Vikings, and the other is The Bible. They both debuted about 5 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I was watching The Bible the other day. And I was watching the episode live. My wife and I were watching it. We had just put the baby down. And I saw the guy that they had cast to play Satan. And I immediately just uttered out with, it was an involuntary reflex, "Are they serious?" I said that to my wife. I spoke it aloud because, anyone could notice the uncanny resemblance that the actor who played Satan has with Barack Obama. He looks just like the man. In fact, I thought it was Obama. I saw it. I thought, has he taken up acting now? We got a picture on the website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You're on your way there to vote for Art anyway. So scroll down to Satan. Obama as Satan in the Bible is the name of the entry. This guy looks just like him. We have a picture of the actor and a picture of Obama. Dead ringer. He's in, you know, in his garb as Satan for the show. So, of course, there was a huge outcry, Keith, from people saying, how could the History Channel not have seen that? How could they have been so insensitive? And to that, I would say this. Two things came to my mind when I saw this. Number one, first of all, American presidents are puppets for the folks who actually do have influence in government. So to compare Obama as an entity as powerful as the Prince of Darkness is to give him a little bit too much credit. That's number one. But number two, the History Channel, as you know, is not a bastion of conservative thought. It was begging for trouble for this one, unless they intentionally cast an actor to look like Obama because they knew it would stir up publicity. What they should have done is just cast Evil Incarnate as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white guy like everybody else does. But here's the real kicker. So they got this guy that looks like Obama. He's playing Satan, looks just like him. And here's what the History Channel said. They said that the accusations of this guy looking like Obama is utter nonsense, which if you look at the picture, you know it's not. This is the producers, executive producers of The Bible, this series on the History Channel. It says the actor who played Satan, I can't pronounce his name, he's Arab, Mehdi Ouzani, is a highly acclaimed Moroccan actor. He has previously played parts in several biblical epics, including satanic characters, long before Barack Obama was elected as our president. Now, here's the ringer, Keith. I said all that to say this. The executive producers of The Bible also said, we have nothing but respect and love for our president, who is a fellow Christian. And let me just say something, folks. You judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. If Barack Obama is a Christian, I'm a monkey's uncle. I mean, you know, I don't know. No one knows the heart of a man except for God. But you look at Obama ramrodding homosexual marriage down the throats of a once Christian nation. That does not fall in line with the Word of God. Supporting the woman's right to murder their unborn children. Not quite something God had in mind if you've ever read the Bible. So what's the History Channel doing here, Keith? They cast a guy, obviously looks like Obama, as Satan. And then when they get called for it, they say, oh, it's ridiculous. He looks nothing like him. Obama's a Christian. We're Christians. We're all, you know, we're all swaying to the sound of the drums.
Quite frankly, I'm baffled because I can't believe that the censors that censor anything that would be possibly remotely critical of the leftist regime in America would allow something like this to happen for any mainstream network public or production, including anything from the History Channel, which quite frankly specializes in everything except history. We've noted that several times before. But it's obvious that even down to the pursed lips, the way that they look, that this guy is a dead ringer for Obama. Now, let me tell you that Christianity obviously is taking second place to liberalism in American thought. I was reading this series of articles in the Memphis Commercial Appeal today about the Klan rally, the guest commentary by a Christian pastor of a mainline Protestant denomination, an Episcopal priest, wrote the lead article, Dismantling Racism. Then they have a guy named Ron McDonald. Again, you know, the irony is ridiculous here. You've got a guy named after a clown, who is a clown himself, who has the Quaker congregation in Memphis, which has about 10 members. It meets in the guy's house, for crying out loud. But you would think he was the most eminent theologian in Memphis. Any time that there's any racial matter that comes before the Commercial Appeal, he's their go-to guy. And he's written this article, City is Fertile Ground for Spiritual Rebirth. Now, this whole phenomenon shows that the cultural Marxists really knew what they were doing. They have done the long march through the institutions, and the churches are now the servants of liberalism, and liberalism is the avowed spiritual enemy of Christianity. But if you go to any type of church, not just a mainline Protestant church, if you go to a Roman Catholic church, if you go to a fundamentalist Christian church, you're going to get the same old liberal claptrap. They've tried to wed Christianity and liberalism, and they can't be joined. They are, as they say in the Bible, unequally yoked. Liberalism is the enemy of Christianity, just like equality is the enemy of liberty. They don't coexist well together, and that's why Christianity is sickening and dying in America and in the West generally. It's the one reason that your leftist newspaper will never give when they start examining why the numbers of churchgoers seems to be diminishing every decade. It's because of the increasing liberalism that is finding manifestation in churches. Now, if a church, if liberalism is your true religion, the real, you know, the where that leads you is not going to church at all. You know, you can get that, you can get liberalism at the Rotary Club. You can get it at Bridges or Leadership Memphis or something like this. So why go to a church? And people that go to a church looking for the nourishing food of Christianity find that they have nothing to offer. The church is offering no real Christian spirituality anymore.
And if these guest commentators are so concerned with racism, why not spend their column advocating against the purely racist practices of affirmative action, quotas, and set-asides that disenfranchise the most capable to fill some sort of a silly government mandate? We got to go to a break. I got one for you. My old nemesis has been fired from CNN. We're going to tell you that story when we come back. More good news on the cesspool. Stay tuned. We got to get out of this place.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, good news, folks. I'm going to set the table and then let Keith and political cesspool Washington, D.C. correspondent Pete Stanton knock this one down. The top brass at CNN apparently felt as though it was time to get some actual talent on the network and made a move in the right direction by firing my old sparring partner, Roland Martin. Now, people remember when I was back making regular appearances on CNN's television programs, they often pitted me against Roland Martin, including my very first time where they flew me up to New York to be part of an hour-long special. Now, that is very rare that you be a guest for a full hour on national television, but there we were. And this guy, I mean, he looks like a fat blowfish, except that's an insult to blowfish because blowfish obviously have higher IQ. And he's just not a nice guy. But he said, though, after he was fired this week, now keep in mind, CNN employed him for the better part of 10 years, paid him millions of dollars. They finally let him go. People get fired from jobs all the time. They finally let him go after letting him, you know, waste airtime for 10 years. And he said that it's because the executives at CNN were white racists and they were implementing a whiteout. Well, let me tell you something, Roland. They may look white, but I can guarantee you that people calling the shots at CNN ain't white. But here's what he said, though, after his firing. He says, what I think is most important is that I've always kept a foot in black media. I'm absolutely committed to building up black media. And I think that it's absolutely important in 2013 that we have strong black cable networks, strong black websites, strong black magazines and newspapers, and that we're able to focus on our issues and our stories and highlight our people. You know, race is a social construct, Keith. That's what he tells me when I'm on the air with him. But yet when he's off the air after he's been fired, he's all black all the time. Race is real to him. And I was just absolutely astonished. He single-handedly ran away with the coveted Hypocrite of the Year award with that single answer. Notice how he feels about the cultivation of so-called black media. Yet when it became known to him that I was working for the exact same thing for European Americans, he said that I was a racist and unfit for national television, quote unquote. In other words, of course, the classic double standard. It's okay for blacks to have their own media and spokespeople, but not okay for whites to have the same. But I got to give people like Roland credit for never allowing themselves to be tripped up by such blatant double standards. Their hatred of all things white safely guides them through every inconsistency. And unlike the left, I don't celebrate when others lose their jobs. And I was going to let this story pass without mention until I saw that ridiculous, hypocritical comment by Martin. And so there we are. And you can go, folks, to thepoliticalcesspool.org and watch some of my debates with him, if you can call it that. Basically, when I would make a point in typical blowfish, blowhard fashion, he would just shout me down and call me names on national television because he's a real gentleman like that. But Keith, quick response from you, and let's get to Scoop Stanton.
Roland Martin is a real intellectual heavyweight, not, as you can tell. He is a black patriot, a man who stands up for his race, and any white person that does the same is, of course, a racist. That's what James was cast to be at CNN, and of course, they dispatched him without increasing his wallet one shekel. And furthermore, if Roland Martin is going to inhabit the precincts of the black media, let me tell you that there's no black media that exists in America unless it is supported by Jewish power and influence and gets all its money. All that has to happen is for Jews to withdraw their money, and the black media will disappear like Puff the Magic Dragon. It will go immediately, because the difference between the black cognoscenti and the white racial solidarity movement that we're in is that we do it for free. People like Roland Martin won't do anything for free. They won't blow their nose for free. And consequently, if they're not getting money from Jewish power and influence, then there will be no black media. Now, Roland Martin may think that he can buck his masters, his Jewish paymasters at CNN, but he'll find out that he can't. And just like Al Sharpton and others before him, he's going to find out that he doesn't have the sinecure there that he wants and thinks that he has. Now, this was nothing but turnabout being fair play, because, you know, the last thing that anybody like Roland Martin wants is to be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character and intelligence. he has neither character nor intelligence, and it's been a long time coming, but I can understand why James is somewhat jubilant about this latest development. What goes around comes around, right, James?
We're doing it for free, so that certainly plays into why we're able to outlast some of these folks. But Roland Martin, Keith Olbermann, a lot of these people in the national media who have taken us to task, we're still going on with our work, and they're falling by the wayside. The man who tipped me off to this story was none other than our correspondent, Peter Scoop Stanton, and I know he shares in our revelry as well this night. Scoop?
Yes, good evening, James. Good evening, Keith. Good evening, Cesspool family. I happen to come across a story on PatDollar.com. He's a very conservative guy. He went over to Iraq on his own dime and filmed what really was going on in the war. So if you go to PatDollar.com and click on the story, just mention that you saw it here on the political cesspool. In terms of Roland Martin opening his big fat mouth, he should realize he was hired by CNN because he was black, because he held the views that he did. But since CNN's ratings are in the toilet, they are cleaning house. Mr. Martin's gone, Soledad O'Brien's gone, and a whole bunch of other people are gone. And so CNN is trying to build back up to once what journalism once was, I guess. So he should be very happy that he was able to work for so long at CNN. But remember, this is the second time he was fired from CNN.
That's right.
The first time he made an off-color joke about soccer star David Beckham's underwear ad, referencing the homosexual or something like that. Since it's taboo for anybody to talk about homosexuals, Mr. Martin got an unpaid vacation from CNN.
I'm glad you brought that back up, Scoop. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, see, even the proletariat of cultural Marxism, Keith, can have run-ins with one another, as Roland Martin made comments he shouldn't have made about homosexuals, and therefore he had to go on an unpaid vacation for a little while. But CNN brought him back. As long as he's denigrating whites and not homosexual whites, everything's okay. But I just couldn't get over the fact, Keith, that he was talking about the white executives at CNN and how they're having a whiteout and they're racist and they're discriminating against blacks again. An organization who employed him for over 10 years, millions of dollars. He said they wouldn't give him a show, his own show, because he's black. Well, how many people in the world have their own show on Fox or CNN? Very, very few. And again, with regards to his assertion that these folks are white, again, they look white. They don't count themselves as white. I guarantee if you ask the guy calling the shots at CNN, Mr. Zucker, Jeff Zucker, he wouldn't tell you he's a white guy.
No, see, this is... this brings up two fault lines in the liberal coalition. First of all, black people really aren't liberal. They're partisans. The only reason they line up with liberals and with the Democrat Party is that the Democrat Party uses them, Jewish power and influence ultimately uses them as a weapon against the white Gentile majority. Furthermore, somebody as dumb as Roland Martin probably can't tell the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. So consequently, since Mr. Zucker has a lighter complexion than Mr. Roland Martin, then he's part of the white power structure. This guy really needs to listen to the political cesspool and get an education about who is truly in charge. And quite frankly, a lot of white people need to get the same lesson. If you see right now, Jews like to hide within the larger white population and say, for example, we don't see why you're upset about the your numbers at places like Harvard and Yale. You've got over 53%. Well, when you back out the one-third or 33% of the student body, which is Jewish, that leaves white Gentiles with less than 20%, which is less than one-third of their incidence in the general population. So apparently Mr. Martin can't solve that Gordian knot. He can't figure out why he is being let go, and he can't understand why he doesn't get his own show. Well, I would say that they all, you know, his lack of intelligence and talent just gets shown up time and again, and those are prime examples of it, James.
Scoop, a final word from you on the story you brought to my attention.
Well, hopefully now that Mr. Martin has some time off, hopefully he goes back to journalism school. Because if you remember, some person decided to impersonate you by email to put your email address and call the right person names, and then Mr. Martin went hog wild, even though it was not you. And a second grader could realize, like, hey, this probably wasn't Mr. Edwards, but did Roland verify it? No.
Yeah.
Yes. Did he have egg on his face? Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was last year, I guess. Someone posing as me sent an anonymous web form submission on his website saying they were me, and they called him a bunch of names, and he fell for it hook, line, and sinker, as if I would waste time to contact this guy. And he started cussing about how he owned my expletive on national television, and he would do this, and he would do that, and it was just, I mean... it was all documented at the website. Just another chapter in the sordid tale of James Edwards and Roland Martin. I'm still on the air, though. We'll be back with the second hour right after this. Thank you, Scoop.
In that sleeping little town of Pascagoula, it was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.